Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thank you, Dad. I'm really excited for our listeners today. So I'm encouraging everybody to lean in and trust me, you're going to want to turn this one up. Because my guest is none other than Lisa Turkhurst. She's a best-selling author, highly sought-after speaker, and the founder and leader of Proverbs 31 Ministries. Lisa has a new book that comes directly from her heart. It's titled Surviving an Unwanted Divorce, a biblical practical guide to letting go while holding yourself together. I promise this book will surely help many. A lot of her grace and wisdom to share. Lisa, my friend, welcome to the show.
Oh, you are so welcome. Yeah, it's definitely not a topic that I ever thought I would write about it because it's not a topic I thought I would live. Right. And so I wish there was no need for this book, but there is. And I felt like this is the exact resource I was trying to find when I was in the depth and pain and shock of the death of my marriage. And so I'm grateful that I had two incredible people that helped me through my journey. Yeah. Jim Kress, who is also very close in the AACC family.
On the board.
And also Dr. Joel Mutamali, who is an incredible theologian that works for me. Those two men helped me so much through my journey and my healing process. And I just knew that many other people could benefit from their wisdom. Yeah. And then I learned a lot through the journey. And so I wanted to share my experiential wisdom as well. So I do think it's going to be a power-packed resource for people.
Most definitely is. And what a gift it is to have friends for the fire. I'll tell you this, therapy and theology has been a deep impact in my life. I know countless others. We'll probably touch on that throughout. And we're going to unpackage this book together today. But up front, we're here at our AACC 2025 United World Conference. Over 7,000 counselors and coaches and chaplains and pastors in the room, Miss Lisa. And again, you're somebody that's been impacted by those individuals, but you're somebody that also has impacted them deeply. To be together in such chaotic, divided times, I think is necessary for such a time as this. What's it like? Obviously, there's a big spirit in the room. There's a lot of energy, but what's it like even being in a room with those leaders?
Well, first of all, it's an incredible honor. You know, I think anytime that we get to feed wisdom and biblical insight into people who go out in their communities every day, and it's a and they help other people. So it's a multiplied impact. And I think that's incredible. It's also intimidating to stand in front of that many trained therapists and counselors and pastors, because I'm like, they're going to be diagnosing all of my issues, right?
As I'm promise on stage. We won't. I tell you what, you are going to deliver, I know, as you always do, an incredible message of hope for such a time as this. Fun question up front. We just love to ask our guests just maybe something that God might be teaching them in this particular season. I know you wear a lot of hats. You're very busy. You're traveling a lot. You're speaking a lot. You're writing a lot. What has been going on recently in your life, and what's God been teaching you?
You know, I've been on this journey for about the past year of maybe even year and a half of learning about control. I'm not a very controlling person. You wouldn't like hang out with me and think, wow, she has to be in charge all the time. Yeah. You know, if you wanted to, you and your wife wanted to go out to dinner, I would totally let you guys pick. If we were gonna go on vacation together as families, I would be just along for the ride and happy to go, and you guys could set the itinerary and everything else. So when it comes to my personality and the way I'm wired, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a controlling person. However, control sneaks in when I get afraid. And fear-based control has been something that I have really had to work on. And I think there's several things. You know, if you take the feeling of fear, what makes up the feeling of fear? And fear has certainly been part of my life because of all that I've been through in the past 10 years. You know, just a lot of trauma, a lot of betrayal, a lot of disappointments and devastations. But if you take the feeling of fear, you can really break it down into four parts. And those four parts, first of all, it's the alert. You know, and that you can't do anything about that. Of course you feel alert. That's the way God designed us, and we're supposed to have that feeling. But then there's two in the middle. There's perception and there's memory. And then the last one is, you know, the reaction. What are you going to do with this feeling of fear? So the alert and the reaction are going to come straight out of just the experience we're having. But those middle two will really determine a lot about how we handle that feeling of fear. Memory is if you felt this feeling before, you go back into your memory and you pull on what happened and what was the outcome. Do I need to run? Do I need to stay? Am I safe? And, you know, when we've been through a lot of trauma, the memory part can, there's a lot of progress that can be made using EMDR.
Yes.
And I've done EMDR. I'm sure many of you are familiar with EMDR. And it's an incredible reprocessing tool that has helped me a lot so that my memories don't feed fake fear.
Wow.
The other thing is perception. What story are we telling ourselves because of the alert that we got and the memories that we have? Perception is going to directly link to how we react. And there's a lot of work that can be done around perception. We can go back and we can untangle some of the lies that turned into lines that people spoke to us or over us or lines we spoke to ourselves that turn into labels that we put on ourselves or labels we put on other people or situations that feed whether we should be afraid or not. That turn into liabilities in all future interactions.
Yes.
So those four components of the makings of the feeling of fear have been something that I really have worked on because oftentimes control is fear disguised as strength.
Wow.
And control can feel like an opportunity for me to be strong when I'm really afraid. But if it's fed by fear, we're going to start controlling in ways that aren't good. And so the Lord's really been working with me on that. I really had to apply it last weekend when I was trying to get to the eWomen conference and I was in the Detroit airport and there were no flights, not even going to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is where we needed to go. But there were no flights in any of the surrounding cities. Right. I mean, it was really an opportunity for me to ask myself, am I going to live this message? Because I wanted to demand the outcome that I wanted.
Right.
And I wanted to pitch a fit. I wanted to demand that somebody do something about it. But the reality is everybody was doing their job. It just became a physical impossibility to get me there. And so I had to release control and pivot. And if I would have stayed emotionally stirred up, there's no way I could have pivoted and presented through Zoom to the, what was it, 8,000 women that were there.
8,000
women. Yeah. And so here's the telltale sign that we're caught in fear-based control. It's when we say, I am only willing to accept the outcome that I think is best. Instead, we should trust God with that situation and be responsible. We need to be responsible, do everything we can do toward the outcome we think is best, but in the end, leave the ultimate outcome to the Lord. And our only control we're supposed to have in those scenarios is self-control.
Wow. Lisa, you mentioned EMDR, which is a very evidence-based form of therapy, especially for those who have dealt with trauma, especially PTSD. Stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. I know that that's been very catalytic in your healing journey. If you would, just touch on that a little bit more for our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, one word that indicates trauma is stuck. And so when you feel stuck, especially if you're getting triggered over something over and over and over, it's really healthy to go back to what was that incident? What was that root? What was one of the earliest memories where you felt that, you experienced that, or could be at the root of what's causing you to be triggered now? And it's a way to bring some logical thought into that very emotional moment. And so trained therapists do this. And it's a way to connect the left side and the right side of your brain. They do it through tapping. They do it through a light bar. You can do it through buzzers that you hold in your hand that just go back and forth. Look, if you've never heard of it, I know what I'm saying right now sounds weird, because when somebody first told me about it, I was like, I am not going to be able to. I'm way too logical for that. Yeah. But it worked, and it worked beautifully, and I've seen it work beautifully for many, many people.
As you mentioned, that process of bilateral integration, connecting the right and left hemispheres of the brain, and trauma will compartmentalize those very things. And so being able to process it out loud, to work our way through it, actually brings a lot of healing. Because what trauma would love to do is, it's not like we're remembering those events, but it's almost as if our body is re-experiencing them over and over.
Yes.
Another great resource and book is Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score. There really is that brain, mind, body connection. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, here with a dear friend of our ministry, Lisa Turkhurst, best-selling author, speaker, and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. We're talking about her brand new book, Surviving an Unwanted Divorce, and how God meets us with comfort, truth, and hope in the middle of life's deepest pain. Lisa, I wanted to ask the question. I'm just thinking about people that might be navigating a similar situation or a similar season. And I know this, sometimes people don't know what to do, like you mentioned, and they don't know what to say. And I would love to ask, was there anything maybe that was said during that time that was maybe a little bit more hurtful than it was helpful? Because I want to give us some language and some verbiage to begin to use with people maybe navigating a divorce or a season of loss. So that way, again, we can be more beneficial than detrimental.
Well, one thing is, I would recommend getting copies of Surviving an Unwanted Divorce
Yes.
to those people who are potentially speaking to the one getting a divorce,
Yes.
you know? And again, I think there are many well-meaning Christians whose Right. intention is to save the marriage, and that is an honorable pursuit.
Right.
But we've got to peel back the curtain and look at what's really happening behind closed doors, because these are the kind of situation that I was in, and the kind of issues that many, many, many women are facing when they're walking through an unwanted divorce. They are more than just garden variety hardships in a marriage,
right?
These are deeply devastating, hurtful, abusive
Yeah.
situations that it would be absolutely wrong to force someone to feel like they have to stay in a marriage where they are getting destroyed behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And so I just think we have to be careful. I think we have to call in professionals.
Yeah.
You know, just the average person isn't going to understand the dynamics of narcissism and other personality disorders that are feeding into this situation, or unhealed past trauma that, you know, whoever is causing the hurt in the marriage, because it can go both ways.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a woman getting destroyed. Sometimes it's a man getting destroyed by their spouse. So it does go both ways. But I just think sometimes we have to recognize where our help to that person is limited
Yeah.
and not say things that we're trying to be helpful, but in essence, we're really being hurtful.
Right.
One of those statements is, well, you know, there's always two sides to every story. And my response to that is, this isn't a spectator sport. Why are we picking sides? There's a family on the field getting destroyed, and you're going to try to pick sides or figure out who said what and who did what. This isn't the time for this. The one who's being devastated needs to be helped, and they need to be helped right now. So get a copy of Surviving an Unwanted Divorce and read it alongside your friend who's walking through this very traumatic season.
Such a powerful word. I want to shift the conversation here for a moment, because we talked a lot about the hurt, but now I just want to talk about some practical steps toward help, toward hope, and toward healing. You mentioned Jim Kress, you mentioned Dr. Joel, and obviously I know that they've been good friends of yours, buddies, battle buddies in the midst of a trying time.
Yes.
I would love to hear just a couple of beginning steps for somebody that might be experiencing an unwanted divorce. What are some things that they can maybe be doing today, the next best step for them to get this healing journey going?
Well, acceptance became a very big part of my journey. And acceptance doesn't just have to happen at the end stages of grieving this, you know, because I've seen before where it's like all these stages of grief and then acceptance is at the end.
Right.
I think acceptance can happen in the midst of the process in micro decisions. Right. And what I mean by that is one thing at the beginning that I think a lot of people struggle with, especially when there's been a betrayal. And this can be a financial betrayal, sexual betrayal. It can be emotional betrayal. Mm. You know, it can be physical abuse and betrayal. You know, so there's a lot that plays into that kind of betrayal. But oftentimes the one who's been hurt, they want all the answers. Yep. They want to know why this happened. How long is it going to hurt? When am I going to feel normal again? And they want to dig back into the past. Like, what could I have done differently? What did I miss? How did this happen? Mm. And I think those answers are very understandable, but chances are we're probably not going to get all those answers. Mm. And we can spend our whole life looking back, trying to figure it all out. Yep. But like Jim Kress once told me, Lisa, when you try to make sense of something that makes no sense, you will lose all sense. So we don't need to go back. We need to just like kind of accept it is what it is and realize I'm never going to understand some of the choices that my ex-husband made. Right. Even to this day, I'll find myself sometimes in a counseling session with Jim and I go, how in the world could this be? Like, I just don't understand it. And Jim goes, really? Really? Based on everything you've been through, you can't believe that this is happening? Because I believe it. It makes perfect sense. It lines up perfectly with all the other behaviors. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, right as he's about to go to the cross, he is feeling overwhelmed. The scriptures say that Jesus says, I'm overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And if you think about that, Jesus was fully human, sinless, but very much sinned against. Mm. He knew the weight of betrayal and hurt and people walking away from him, people saying things that weren't true. And, you know, he knew that kind of devastation because he had those human feelings. Yes. But at the same time, he was also fully God. Yeah. So he was fully God and fully man. Yeah. Because he was fully God, he had the answers to everything. He knew everything. And so when he cries out, fully God and fully man, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, it's not the answers that were easing the ache of his sorrow. Mm. He had all the answers, and he was still overwhelmed with sorrow. Mm. So it's not having the answers that will comfort us. Yes. It's doing the next thing that Jesus prays. And the next thing that Jesus prays is, God, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. You see, we may not get answers about the past, but if we keep our focus there, we're going to stay stuck. We've got to fix our eyes on the Lord and say, I don't understand this. I don't like this. I don't trust that person. Yeah. I may not even trust other humans around me, but God, I can trust you because here's what I do know to be true. Yes. And this is the answer. God is good. Yes. God is good to me. And God is good at being God. God will give me and allow for it to come to me any information that is helpful. But all the information we can't get, I just have to believe God has a part in preventing it because it would not be helpful. It would actually be hurtful.
Getting to a place, like you said, of acceptance and learning how to trust, learning how to forgive, clinging to the hope of the gospel, not my will, but thy will be done for me. I'm thinking about God's word where it says, behold, I am doing something new. And I know that's a little bit about what you're living out right now. Your husband, Chaz, and so many incredible things happening as you guys are moving in this direction, and God is continuing to redeem and restore, and he's the great repurposer. He can take broken things and make them beautiful again. Chat with us just about, as you've navigated out of that season, and still, those emotions, I can only imagine, continue on. Those questions, those doubts, that wrestling match, it keeps going, but at the same time, healing comes day by day, decision by decision, moment by moment. Lisa, I don't know about you, but in seasons that were pretty harmful and hurtful in my own life, what then it set me up for was to really experience the joy and the satisfaction of who our God is in this new season of my life. I savored it a little bit more. Speak to us just about how this new season has been for you and maybe all the things that you've learned as you stepped into it.
Well, I think that last phrase you said, stepping into it, is really important. You don't want to step into the future of a new relationship after your divorce too quickly. Yeah. Because what felt normal to me at that time was dysfunction. Mm. Because I'd lived in toxic dysfunction for so long. Yeah. So when I experienced the death of my marriage, and as I looked toward the future, I knew that I needed to pursue my own healing. And it wasn't that I was trying to deal with anything of my ex-husband anymore. Obviously, the marriage was over and he needed to be on his own journey. But I definitely needed to tend to the brokenness now inside of my own heart. Yes. And so I had a lot of work to do. And I wanted to be healed enough that I didn't need another man to help me through that journey.
Wow.
Because then I would have picked someone that was at the same level yep. of hurt and heartbreak that I was in. Because we attract what we are, you know? And so healthy people are attracted to healthy people. Hurt people are attracted to hurt people. So I think we have to be really careful about that. So I took a long season so that I didn't need someone else to help me heal. But I wanted to be healed and healthy enough so I could want the right person. And so I'm grateful. It was years. At first, I was not ready at all. I couldn't even fathom. I'd been married almost 30 years, so I couldn't even fathom thinking about another relationship. But over time, and as the healing continued, slowly I opened my heart up to the possibility. I was still hesitant. I was still working on trust issues. So it's not like I was perfect by the time that I met Chaz. But Chaz had also been on his own healing journey. And, you know, he had been on a sobriety journey. He'd been sober 10 years when I met him. He had done his work. Even in the dating profile that that I saw, he said, "I'm looking for someone who has done the work." Wow. And you don't say that unless you know that term because you've done the work, right? And so there was just a lot that I felt like could be the setup for a possible good relationship. And so, of course, I got Jim involved. I got Dr. Joel Mutamali involved. I got all my protective friends, my kids, my parents, you know, everybody. I had a personal board of directors, and whoever was going to get to me had to get through them first. And so stepping into the future, as we look ahead, we want to recognize that we need to be responsible to face the future in the healed version that God wants us to be. And so, you know, don't step into a new relationship too quickly and recognize that it's not another person that's going to fix you. You know, you've got to pursue that healing on your own. And so, so now I am remarried to an amazing man named Chaz, who is a surfer. Ever in my whole life, when I had a vision for my future, I never saw myself married to someone who's like, gnarly, dude. Those words weren't even in my vocabulary. But how good of God to put me with someone who will never, you know, who will never not understand what I've been through because he's been through it as well.
Wow.
And, you know, he is sober now, has been sober 11, almost 12 years now. And I didn't realize how important that would be too, that he doesn't touch alcohol. Now, obviously, he continues to pursue his own healing so that he can stay in that healthy place. But I'm just really, really grateful that we together now are at a place where we can pursue health and healing as we step into the future with great joy and anticipation. And I'm so, so grateful. You know, sometimes God does do a redemption in reconciling couples.
Yes.
I wanted that to be my story with my ex-husband, but it was not. And sometimes God rescues people, and I do believe God rescued me. But no matter what your future looks like, with God, you can always live a redemption story.
Always live a redemption story. My friend, you've done the work. And how I want to just close up and wrap up this conversation is just brief word of hope to the person out there that's living maybe a discouraged life. They're disappointed in the way that things are. They've kind of slipped into a pit of despair. Maybe they feel trapped in a destructive marriage. What's just a final word of encouragement that you would want to leave that person with in this moment today?
Don't keep it a secret. Find some safe people and bring some light into the darkness, because that's what needs to happen in this moment. And I don't mean go tell everyone what you're facing at home, but go tell a few safe people, especially if you can find a good Christian therapist. And I know AACC has a lot of resources that you can help people with if they go to your website. But don't go at it alone. Because this is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever faced. And we are as sick as our secrets. So don't be someone else's secret keeper. We can hold things private for the sake of healing, but we don't want to hold things secret and allow continued hurting and trauma and toxicity. So don't go at it alone. Tell someone.
Don't keep it a secret. Suffering thrives in silence. Healing can't be found in hiding. We need friends for the fire, and we need to remind ourselves that God is always the fourth man in that fire as well. Lisa Turkers, my friend, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, all of us here at the AACC and Life, Love, Faith, and Family, just thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your boldness again in writing this book and this resource. Where can our audience go to find out more about you, but also to pick up a copy of this book, Surviving an Unwanted Divorce?
Yeah, the book will be available wherever books are sold. So wherever you typically get your books, that's great. It'll also be available on my ministry website, Proverbs31.org, so you can go there, or you can find me on Instagram at Lisa Turkhurst.
Lisa, my friend, we love and appreciate you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.